Tonight, I wanted to talk about heroes. Jenna and I have gotten into watching the TV show Heroes lately. I don't know if you've seen it on TV, but it's kind of like a comic book on television. It's not cartoon, but it's the stories are built kind of a lot like reading a comic book. I've never been a big comic book reader, but the show is kind of fun. It's been running for several seasons, and Jenna and I just finished the first one. We've been watching them online. And they're kind of fun to watch the stories and the people in the stories who are spread out over the country, a lot of them unrelated, have these special abilities they can do. Like there's one man who can fly, there's a girl who can heal from pretty much any physical harm that she befalls, there's another guy who can stop time, he can bend space-time with his mind, he can stop time and he can travel back and forth in the future, in the past, and he can transport it, like teleport himself. And it's fun. It's a fun show. And all these abilities that these characters possess, somehow they come out of their DNA. So that's who they are. They've got this power that somehow was in them and has come out of them. And so they're doing this in the show. And the other night on, I forget which show it was, but one of the shows, a young boy went up and he touched an ATM, and this boy had the power to manipulate machines. He just thinks what he wants it to do. And so the ATM starts spitting out $100 bills. And he's, because his dad's out of work and his family needs money, so he's getting money out of the ATM, and Jenna says, I wish I had that power. And I thought about that. It's been an icebreaker kind of question that I've asked youth groups before. If you could have a special power, if you could be a superhero, what would your power be? That's kind of a fun question to think about. If you could just dream up something that you could do, what kind of ability would you have? Maybe it would be super strength, and you could pick up cars like little toys. Maybe you could fly. Maybe you could change things into gold. Maybe you could be invisible or walk through walls. There's your imagination is basically the limit. I've always thought it would be kind of cool to teleport, to transport anywhere. You wouldn't need to worry about gasoline or car insurance or anything like that. If you could just walk out on your front porch and think and you'd be where you wanted to be, that'd be kind of fun. Or to fly, or to stop time. That sometimes when I've got a lot to do, it'd be cool to be able to stop time, get everything done, and start the clock again when you're all caught up. Because it seems like lots of times we're never caught up. There's always something else on the list to do. And I think it would be kind of fun if you could teleport to, like, go to Hawaii just to watch a sunset and then come back home. Wouldn't that be fun? So it's fun to think about. We hear, you know, Superman, you could run as fast as a bullet. You could jump over buildings. You could fly over buildings. There's so many things that we could do. And I remember as a kid, I don't know if you, but a lot of kids, they're playing games and their imagination is their limit for what they can do. I mean, kids can shoot lasers out of their hands and kids can jump over entire buildings, and kids can walk on hot lava. I mean, as kids, these abilities just come out of their mind, and there's nothing that stops them. Did you ever play those kinds of games when you were a kid? I've always thought it was kind of fun when I was a kid to play those games, and they were only limited by what you could dream up. Anything that got your way, if you could think of a way to solve that problem, then your problem is solved. Nothing could stop you. Sometimes I think when Jesus talked about having faith like a kid, being had a childlike faith, that's what he meant. That you know nothing can stop you. With God's power, you can do anything. I mean, we're not talking about shooting lasers from your eyes, but there, as far as what God has called us to do and how we're supposed to live our life, nothing can stop us when we have that childlike faith. Yes. So, we know that the lasers and the flying and the teleportation, we know that that's the stuff of comic books and movies and TV shows like Heroes. We know that a lot of that kind of stuff is just science fiction. But there's a deeper truth, I think, behind some of this made-up stuff. I think that some of the longing that's in our hearts to have the ability to solve the world's problems, to be the hero in our life, comes from something that God's put in there. That we're called to make a difference for good. We're called to stand up and fight evil and change the world. And I think that longing, you know, I'm sure that there are some comic book writers and screenplay writers who simply write stories because they like writing stories. But sometimes I think some of those stories maybe come out of a place in our hearts that wants to do something big, that wants to make a difference in our world, that wants to help people. Superman, I meant to wear my Superman shirt, but I forgot. So maybe next year. But Superman has captivated audiences for over 75 years. If maybe some of you guys watched him in black and white back in the days. He's been around for almost three generations. And there's been generations of people who have loved Superman, who have thought of the Man of Steel. He is faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and can leap tall buildings in a single bound. Remember that? Superman. And he's the ultimate hero in the minds of generations, of millions of people, maybe billions of people. And he's still around. There was a new movie not that long ago that came out. So the interesting thing about Superman is that his ability, his power, is hidden behind a secret identity. Clark Kent, the mild-mannered reporter, the guy who's just a typical average workaday kind of guy, doesn't do anything big or grand, he's just a reporter, he's a real nice reporter, and that hides his power that he has. Underneath his suit and his tie, there's an unstoppable force. And I think that maybe that's what makes it so easy for us to imagine what it's like to have that power. I mean, as we work, as we go to school, as we play our games and live our average lives, as we wash the car and do the laundry, that it's easy to think, what if that was hiding our superpower? What if that was hiding our ability to break out and do something amazing? What if you're washing the dishes or doing the laundry or giving your kids a bath or writing out your checks to pay the monthly bills? What if that was hiding the ability to do something out of this world? Wouldn't that be cool? If you had those kinds of powers, would it be something that you use for good? Or would it be something that you use for personal gain? That's probably the next kind of question that I would ask as the icebreaker, is what's your special ability? And then what would you use it for? Why did you pick that ability? Because sometimes we choose abilities, or we think about abilities that we'd like to have for personal gain, just to serve ourselves. And then sometimes we think of abilities that it would be nice to help somebody we care about, to make a difference in the lives of people that we can't make a difference in with our regular power. Like in the show, the show Heroes, there's good guys and there's bad guys. In a lot of the comic books and the movies, when you have those superpowers come out, there's always bad guys with superpowers too. And I think that those powers are basically an extension of who you are to begin with. That the bad guys who have superpowers that use them for evil, it's because they were evil to start out with. And the good guys that use their powers for good, it's because they were good to start out with. If you've seen the movie Spider-Man that came out a few years ago, you've probably heard the line that says, "With great power comes great responsibility." It's a great line. I like it. It's a fun thing to say, but I think in real life, it's not always true. There's a lot of people in our world with great power who have no responsibility. The first one that comes to mind is Adolf Hitler. He had pretty widespread power in the world and used it extremely irresponsibly and harmed a whole lot of people because of it. Today, you can think about all the big banking tycoons, the powerful financial leaders of the world, who made some pretty irresponsible choices with the investments that they made, and we're all paying hundreds of billions of dollars because of it. The world is trillions of dollars in debt because of people with power who used it irresponsibly. I get reminded of Bill Clinton, who was supposed to be one of the leaders of the free world, who had power. Oh, he was the president of our nation, and he committed adultery in the Oval Office. How irresponsible. And they still see him as a hero. The power that we're given, the power that we're blessed, the power that we dream about is an extension of who we are. And so it can be used for good and it can be used for bad, and it's a choice that we have to make whether we use it responsibly or not. It would be great if great power brought great responsibility. It would be great if that was just an automatic thing, that you receive power and you're automatically responsible. You use it for good, you help people, you do things to change the world for positive changes. You wield your power with others in your heart, with the intent to do good for others in your heart. So why do I bring this up? Why do I talk about comic books and world leaders and stuff like that? Well, it's because we have power. As Christians, we're blessed with a special ability. When you turn to God and choose to follow Him, Bible says that you get a special ability, doesn't it? You might not think that you have power. You might sit there and think, yeah, but I've never done anything good. There's nothing special about me. I've never been able to make any big difference. But the truth is, if you think there's nothing more to your life than the mild-mannered reporter or factory worker or housewife or whatever it is that you do, the student, that if you believe in Jesus, you do have that power. It's what comes with the blessing of the Holy Spirit. When you turn to God, God says, I'm going to give you power and ability so that you can use it for my purposes. And if you're a follower of God, you've been given that gift. You have it. Whether you use it or not, you have it. So you don't have to worry about whether you have been blessed or not. If you are a Christian, you've been blessed with it. The trick is figuring out what it is and putting it to good use. So find that responsibility. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Talk a little bit about what God has given us. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us. For I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. And no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, He gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else, He gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So, if you belong to God, you have been given a wonderful ability. It's just like that. You don't have to worry about whether you're good at it or not. If you belong to God, it's been given to you. And you are called to use that power for good. You're called to help the church to accomplish God's mission. Your special power is an integral part of what we're supposed to do as the church. And if you're not helping, we've got a broken part of the body. If you're not tuned into what God has blessed you with, there's something wrong with us as the church. Maybe this comic book stuff isn't too far off. You know, take away the flying and the lasers and the things like that, and look into the spiritual part of it. We're here to work together with our abilities to conquer evil. Romans 12:21 says, don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. So we're here to work together to conquer evil. The cool thing about conquering evil and saving the world is that it doesn't require leaping over buildings or teleporting or doing anything that's, you know, make believe. It takes some pretty simple stuff, as nice as Dave was mentioning, the difference between simple and simplistic. That what God calls us to do is relatively simple, not necessarily easy all the time, but it's simple and straight up. If you stay there in Romans chapter 12 and skip down to verses 19, it says, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Instead, do what the Scriptures say. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, and they will be ashamed of what they have done to you. Don't let evil get the best of you. And that's where it says, but conquer evil by doing good. Pretty simple stuff, right? It goes back to that command to love. When you're loving, when you're treating each other with love, It makes a big difference. Love has power. If you remember ever watching Superman, I think all through the generations, he always seemed to have practical advice to give. I know in the movies he did. He would tell people to fasten their seatbelts, avoid smoking, watch where you're walking. I mean, simple stuff that Clark Kent would say, that you didn't need to have a superpower to make life better. He said, be nice to each other. It was kind of simple, straight-up stuff. And when we're doing that, when we're kind to strangers, it has an impact. And what Jesus told us to do was pretty basic stuff, too. You can find one of the best-known lessons in Matthew in the Beatitudes. God blesses those who realize their need for them, for Him. For the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, who are gentle, who are lowly. We're called to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be merciful, to have pure hearts, to work for peace, to endure persecution as we live for God. We're called to be the salt and the light of the earth. We don't have to do something that we don't know how to do. We're called to do simple things to make a difference for God, to be salt. It's not an amazing thing. It's a powerful thing. If we flavor this world with God's goodness, it's going to have a great impact. If we stand up for what's right and do our best to serve other people, it's going to make a big difference. I mean, sometimes we think that being the nice guy just gets us walked over. But over the course of history, we've seen that being the good guy has a huge impact on the world. That standing up for what's right makes a difference in those around you. Those kids who sat in church and seemed like he wasn't listening, they've had an impact on him. And all he did was what he normally would do. He didn't have to do anything amazing. He just did what he felt like called by God to do, and a kid's life was changed. When you do your good deeds, people see it. The Bible says that they will praise your Heavenly Father because of your good deeds.
Right.
Remember that. Jesus doesn't call us to do crazy stuff a lot. He calls us to do simple, straightforward kindness and goodness and act in love. The gift that God has blessed you with, this special ability, it's not a trick to show off at parties. You don't ask for an ability so that you can be the center of attention. You don't get blessed with something so that you can dress up in tights and be flashy and showy. You get a gift to serve God. You have a special purpose, and if you'll do that in humility and with persistence and use your gift, if you will be heroes for God, nothing can stop you. It's as simple as that. Nothing can stop you when you're working for God. God is the ruler of the universe. He's the ultimate superhero. And we're working on His team. If you remember the story from this morning, the scripture is Matthew 16, and verse 18 and 19 says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven." Do you realize the importance of the gift that you've been given? Do you realize how important you are to God's kingdom? What you have been blessed with, your ability to serve God, is an amazing gift. It's easy to sit there and think, I don't matter, I'm not special. But you've got to change that way of thinking. You've got to start looking at yourself as someone who's called to be a hero for God. Romans 12 again, starting the first verse. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for us, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. As God's messenger, I give you, each of you this morning, be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of His one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us has been needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking to you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I'm a sci-fi fan. I enjoy these hero movies and the amazing things that they can do on film these days. A couple of recent ones are The Incredible Hulk and then The Iron Man. Both came out. And I'm looking forward to what's going to happen because these two guys are part of a team called the Avengers. And there are other characters, and I've looked on the internet, and I think they're making more movies with more characters, and somewhere these characters are going to get together. And their job as a team, the Avengers, is to fight the foes that no one hero can stand against alone. And that's kind of like what the church is called to do. We're called to group together as the body and work for God and make a difference in this world. You know, you see silly sci-fi movies, I see God and working in the church. But it's true that God wants us to do great things. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, and the good plans, says the Lord, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God has big plans for you. It might be easy to think, my part of the body, I think, is the little toe, or the bile duct, or the gallbladder. Like, sometimes you might think that your part of the body is insignificant, but Scripture has something different to say. Ephesians 4:4-32 says, "We are all one body, we have the same spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. So none of us is a worthless part of the body. None of us is expendable. We're all meant to serve our purpose. We're all meant to do something important." Ephesians continues, "When he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." Notice that it says he ascended. This means that Christ first came down to the lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that his rule might fill the entire universe. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full-grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. You're called to have great power and to have great responsibility, to be built up to the full stature of Christ. We've got a cool goal to work towards. It continues, "Then we will no longer be like children living forever, changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Full of love. So you need to understand that you're an important part of this body. We need each other to grow, to continue to bless each other and the world. "With the Lord's authority, let me say this, live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness, and they are far away from life, from the life of God, because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. They have given themselves over to immoral ways, and their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed." We're up against a powerful foe. Satan is at work. There's a lot of work for us to do, and we'll all face difficult times trying to get it done. But we can't let the darkness creep in. We can't let our hearts be hardened because we feel unimportant. Remember earlier, God said, take an honest estimate of yourself based on the faith God's given you. Remember what you were taught when you learned about Christ, since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus. And throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, There must be a spiritual renewal of your thought and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Realize the power contained in righteousness and holiness and truth. Put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth because we belong to each other. And don't sin by letting anger gain control of you. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And I remind you again, you have great power. John 14:12-14 says, "The truth is, anyone who believes in me," this is Jesus speaking, "anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it because the works of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it." Great power. So with this great power, God calls you to have great responsibility. It continues, "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth." Remember earlier, the Holy Spirit is what gave us our abilities. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit, who is always with us, always there to tell us how to do what we need to do, to give us the courage and the strength to keep on doing what's supposed to be done. I think sometimes it's easy to see the Holy Spirit as distant and far off because we aren't living the life we need to be. We aren't out there doing what we need to be doing. We aren't listening to that still, small voice. But when we do, we see God's great power. We have more of those God moments, those Jesus moments when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You're meant to do great things for the kingdom of God. You have special abilities. You have power. You're called to be a hero for the Lord. All the movies you saw, all the stories you read, all the comics you might have gotten into, there's a deeper truth behind them. It's not about shooting lasers from your eyes and flying or teleporting. It's about accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in this world. It's about working for the kingdom, which is so much more important than any story you've ever seen in the movies or any comics you've ever read. You're called to a great future. You're called to be a hero. You're an eternal being that will live forever. You have the power of God behind you. Will you accept your calling? Will you realize your power and will you have responsibility and use it for good? Will you be the hero that you're called to be? I think that's a good place to end. Let's leave with that question. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you've gone beyond saving us, that you not only loved us so much and valued us so much that you wanted to save us, but you have blessed us with power, with ability to do your work. You've asked us to be a part of what you're accomplishing us in the world. You want us to be partners, to be part of the family business of saving other people. God, thank you that we can be heroes for you. Thank you that we don't have to rely on our own strength, but we can rely on your power. God, thank you that you have entrusted us with the gift. God, I pray that you would help each one of us recognize the importance that we have as part of the body, and that you would help us to be humble but faithful in using it. Help us to go out and make the difference that we're called to make. Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've blessed us with and ask for your grace through the week and for more and more opportunities to make a difference in the world around us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.